Amen.
Tonight I want to ask you for an impact statement. The impact that you are making upon other Christians. In the news there is all kinds of talk of impact statements. Usually they're negative. Someone that has been in court and they're asked for their testimony of the degree, the extent, the impact of the offense that has been against them. Well, we're going to flip the coin and ask for an impact statement of what the gospel has done in your life and of the impact that you are making upon other Christians. Paul the Apostle, writing to Philemon, asked for such an impact statement. In fact, Paul was going to write it for him. And we're told here in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Now, I have to confess that I had quite an afternoon yesterday just gazing at these words. And I confess that some of them they're not straightforward language. They require us to really dig to what exactly is Paul saying right here. He says, the communication of thy faith. That means fellowship. That means what rubs off from one Christian to another. You can't have fellowship if nothing rubs off. That's why you can't do it over your mobile phone. That's why you can't do it over the internet. It takes real, living Christians breathing beside one another to have real fellowship. And Paul is saying here that the fellowship, that warmth, that communion of saints, of thy faith, may become effectual. Now, that means operative, that it does its work, that it has a real impact upon other believers for the Lord Jesus. By the acknowledgement of every good thing, I would rephrase that, not to change Scripture, but to throw some light on it and call it by the advertisement of every good thing which is in you. Christians are not to hide the newness of life in Christ Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is to be seen in the lives, in the walk, the talk, the daily conversation of the Christian is to be an advertisement for the very grace of God. This was Paul's prayer for Philemon. If you go back to verse 4, you'll notice he says, I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love. Paul had his ear to the gossip vine. He had heard things about Philemon, and they were good. They rejoiced his heart, and they stirred him up to pray that God would make this man effectual, an impact Christian upon others around him. Now, to take this a little further, in verse 7, you'll notice that he was a man who would refresh the hearts of God's people. Look how verse 7 puts it. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints. Now, that's not everyday language. You don't talk to your neighbor like that. He would send for an ambulance if you started talking like that. He would wonder what you're talking about. But this is talking about the inner affections, your heart, your spirit, your encouragement. And you'll notice that this man caused great joy and comfort because the inner heart, deep emotions of the saints are refreshed by thee. Philemon was a refreshing man, a wonderful man to be around, a wonderful man to have friendship with and time with. You would want to be in his companionship, and you want to enjoy real fellowship with him. That brings us to the purpose of character study. What wonderful examples the Bible holds up as models of our faith. This, of course, has to be taken to heart because we become what we admire. We all have heroes. And whether you are impressionable, young children, teenagers, or even throughout all our days, we assimilate. There is the law of osmosis. There's something that filters through of the personality, the character, the attitudes, the chemistry, the faith, the very spirit of the person rubs off on us. That's why those people who are glued to their television and they view nothing but the influences of Hollywood, well, they end up wanting to live like Hollywood superstars. They end up with all the expectations of Hollywood. And lives are changed. Societies are changed. Culture is changed by what becomes popular and generic throughout a society. That becomes the role model. Now, Philemon in the Bible is held up to us as a man to be molded by, one that we are to allow to stir our hearts and to become a real living hero in our lives. Now, we want to do this tonight by scanning this book. It's not often that you can preach on a whole book in one sermon, and I'm sure I won't cover every detail by any means. But we want to look at this, ways in which Philemon made an impact on other Christians. Well, let's look firstly at his faith. And you can only make an impact by your faith. That's where it starts. If you look at verse 5, you will see, hearing of thy love and faith. Now you'll see that Philemon's faith was firmly rooted in a person, the Lord Jesus. That was the object, that was the very principle of his faith. This, in verse 4, caused Paul praise, to give thanks to God. I wonder, are there those in the church that are thanking God that you are now a Christian, that you're now saved, that you are now a believer? And they are no longer praying for your soul to be redeemed, but they're thanking God for that mighty new life of faith that you have in the Lord Jesus. Now, the exciting thing, or the very interesting thing, is that this faith of Philemon, it was linked with love. Linked with love. You'll notice in verse 5, hearing of thy love and thy faith. Did you know that those things are twins? They go together. It's impossible to have genuine faith and not to have a heart filled with love. It's impossible to be converted and not to be born of the Spirit with the love of God flowing in your heart and in your soul. Galatians 5:6 is a good commentary on this, and it says, faith that worketh by love. I want to take a little aside tonight and look at this matter of faith operating by love, because that's the real test. I talk to people and they tell me they believe. I shake their hand and say, I accept your profession. But would I make them members of the church? Would I want them to be fellow laborers in the gospel? What kind of faith do they have? Is it real? Is it genuine? Is it lasting? Or is it just that fizz of the pop can? It soon dies away. Let's look at this matter of faith working by love. It's a love for God's Word. Peter says that we are born again by the Word of God. And the mark of genuine faith is that this Bible becomes your book. It's God's book to you. And it becomes the joy and the very delight of your own soul. The Lord Jesus said that if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. A love for the word. The Bible is no longer an offense to you. You will not be offended by a brother who comes along and flicks those pages and say, "Hey, did you see this? Did you find this in the Bible?" You'll want to know. You'll want to enter in. That will become now fellowship. That rubbing off one Christian to the other. And I'm sure Philemon did that. I'm sure this man who was a witness in the Word and had a love for the Word, he took this book and he shared it with many others. And thereby he was an impact Christian. Faith working by love also causes us to love to worship. Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. True worship is only born in our souls when we become Christians, when we're saved by grace. And that's one of the great miracles of redemption. In the book of Acts, we read of the early Christians that they had all things common. They were of one accord in one place. What doing? Breaking bread, in doctrine, and worship. What a mercy. What a power. It also affects our walk. Romans 8:1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if you are looking to Christ by faith, it will produce a new walk in your life. You will walk differently. It'll be a walk in the Spirit by which you will know grace to live a new life. Another point is witness. I'll skip that one and I'll move to warfare. It seems almost a contradiction, an oxymoron, to say that faith worketh by love and then it calls you to warfare. Well, let me ask you, when's the last time you stood up for your wife? You didn't? Then the question is, do you really love her? That's the issue of the gospel. If we love our Lord Jesus, if we love His Word, His church, His name, His cause, we become willing to put on the Christian armor to defend and declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's faith that worketh by love that causes the Christian to take the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and putting on that Christian armor that we might stand against the wiles of the devil and having done all to stand. Now, let's come out of that little aside back to Philemon here. And you'll notice in verse 5 that this love working by faith and love in his heart, it was toward the Lord Jesus, but it was also toward all saints, a love of the brothers and the sisters in the cause of the Lord Jesus. And so shall all men know that ye are my disciples when ye love one another. An impact Christian is given grace to love fellow believers. 1 John 3 is the whole chapter. Seems devoted to that whole subject, that if we love God and we're begotten of God, then we will love our brother. not like Cain, who slew his brother Abel out of envy, but there is born in the heart of the Christian a new love. So an impact Christian is one who is motivated by faith and works by love. Now, secondly, and I'm not preaching three sermons here tonight, by the way, for those that may be concerned. I have three major points, yes, but they are not three sermons. They are all one message on this issue of making an impact on other Christians. That which is rubbing off from our spiritual lives to our fellow believers. Now, as you go down this chapter, you will see that this man Philemon made an impact by his practical service. In verse 1, he is called Beloved, our dearly beloved. When's the last time that you were called beloved in the church of the Lord Jesus? We're not very good at expressing that, are we? We might write it, but it's very hard just to look into someone's face and say, you're a beloved brother or sister in the Lord. The problem of Christian fellowship is that we don't express it as we should. We hold back. And then there is the other problem of being a plastic Christian. Someone comes along and says, dearly beloved Ian, I would almost put my guard up. This is a society of the phony. This love has to be earned. It has to be gained on our knees in prayer and real Christian fellowship. It has to be hammered out on the anvil of Christian living that we truly do feel and know that we are a beloved brother or sister, one who bears the burdens of fellow Christians, one who takes up the cross, not just for our own needs, but for those of others. Paul called Philemon in this verse 1 again, fellow laborer. Well, that could be a multitude of things. That could be a whole gamut of things. But you can see that this man was Mr. Action. He was busy. You could itemize his labors. Paul called them fellow laborers. You'll notice, too, in verse 2 that he had an open-door policy to the church, because the apostle speaks of the church in thy house. Now, how intrusive is that? Get up Sunday morning. Hey, the whole congregation's coming to our house today. Wow, that's going to change the routine. You better get your house cleaning done on Saturday. You better have all things ready, prepared for the congregation coming. Now, we don't know how big the congregation was. We don't know the size of his home. We don't know a lot of things. But the church in thy house, here is a man willing to open the door to the cause of the Lord Jesus. An impact Christian. I wonder, is the door of service open in your life? May not mean everyone coming to your home for church service. But you see the heart of this man. Is that your heart? Is that your desire? That you would be known as an open door for the cause of the Lord Jesus. Then I come back in verse 7 to this refreshing of the saints. That's practical. Refreshing the saints. Some parts of the Bible speaks of foot washing. Literally, physically, refreshing someone after their journey and coming into the home and resting, they would wash their feet to give them some respite from the dust and the tiredness of the journey. We don't read that here, that he actually physically did that. In fact, we don't read it in any of the epistles. There are some groups of Christians around the world that take up literally this actual practice of washing feet. Are you willing? Would you be ready? But surely what the Lord Jesus meant when he took the apron and displayed his own readiness to wash the disciples' feet, surely What he was alluding to and giving example of is ministering, serving. How we need such heroes and role models in the church today in this. Now, he says that it brought great joy, consolation, comfort, and the bowels of the saints were refreshed. Simply means that they were able to rest. There is a ministry of peace, quieting the heart of fellow believers. In the Psalm 23, it talks about the shepherd making the sheep to lie down. And sometimes sheep just won't lie down. They'll worry, they'll fret, they'll run around in circles. They won't rest. If you had walked into Philemon's companionship, you would say, that was a tonic, just to have a heart-to-heart with Philemon. Lifted me up out of the doldrums of my own gloominess, got my eyes on the Lord. Fellowship with Philemon did me good. What a helper he was. A refreshing friend. Did you know that his name means friendly? Just look at the wording, Philemon, Greek for Philadelphia, the brotherly love. Philo means love, friendly. Here is a warm-hearted, beloved laborer, a refresher of souls. I thank the men who came to our prayer meeting last night, and I shared some of the burden of these things that I wanted to preach tonight. And I said to the men, I want to be that Philemon, that refresher of souls. I want to be that minister that will lift up the weary and give grace to the downhearted, and someone who needs just that little pickup to get back on the race of faith, looking unto Jesus. That's the Lord's help, of course. We spent an hour in prayer about many things and about this meeting tonight. You remember the motto of a few weeks ago? It doesn't matter how much you know until they know you care. We can certainly say of Philemon, he was such a man. He cared. Now, the final part of this whole account of the impact Christian is a very big event in Philemon's life because, as you probably know, this letter to Philemon was all about bringing back Onesimus, the runaway slave. Onesimus, who had been in the servitude and in the household of Philemon. Philemon seems to be a free man, a householder, house owner. He has servants, slaves, and certainly one who was Onesimus. And Onesimus wronged him. Whether he physically wronged him, whether he took his property, his money, or did damage to him in some other way, but Onesimus fled from the house of Philemon and met up with the Apostle Paul in Rome. Now, the location where Philemon lived is most likely Colossae. And if you read the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians, you'll read there about Onesimus, who was the servant of Philemon. So it's a little bit of detective work to arrive at this, but Colossae is the most likely place where he lived. Now, it's quite a bit. There's a sea to travel to get to Rome. But there, Onesimus arrived, ended in the same prison cell as Paul, and there was marvelously converted. What amazing story of God's grace. And so, there comes a day when Onesimus is to leave Rome, the prison house, and Paul says, you've got to go back. Now, if you understand the fate of a slave who harms his master, you'll understand how seeming fearful this must have been. I read of the times when the emperor and Rome was seated. Slaves had no standing. Bishop Moule, in his little work on this book of Philemon, mentions a slave owner who kept in his garden a tank of conger eels. Now, a conger eel can be from 50 pounds, 5 pounds to 100 pounds in weight. Voracious appetites. And when a slave was out of his master's favor into the tank, fish food, that was the fate of a slave. Bishop Moule gives the account of the Emperor Augustus being entertained by this master of a home, slave owner. And during the meal, a slave who was serving the table broke a crystal glass. The owner flew into a fury and sentenced his slave to the eel tank. The pleas, the cries of this man, not that he should escape death, but escape a fate in the eel tank, actually moved the heart of the Emperor Augustus. He freed the slave and banned the eel tank from that man's property. Understanding some of those things, you can imagine the fear that would enter Onesimus' heart of going back from Rome to the very household where he had done wrong. So Paul wrote a letter. It's in our Bibles as the book of Philemon. And as you read this passage, you will see that every statement of the apostle is carefully crafted, intending to pull the heartstrings of Philemon, that he will receive Onesimus, the runaway slave, not any longer as a slave, but as a brother. Would you read that with me down in, where is it? Well, let me get back to my notes here and I might just find this. Thank you. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And Paul writes layer upon layer of appeal to Philemon to receive Onesimus as a Christian, no longer on this lower level, but giving him the right of a Christian, a brother to be loved. If Philemon does this, think of the impact. Think of the testimony that this will raise in Colossae. This slave owner, this master, who claims to be a Christian, he testifies of faith in the Lord Jesus. He holds the church in his home. He is a man who seeks to take this Bible and speaks of his faith and his love for the Savior. What now is he going to do with Onesimus? And I can just picture Onesimus making the trip back, gets off the ship, he walks up the road. I can't imagine the emotions and the fears, the concerns of what's going to happen to him. But he enters into the home of Philemon. We're not given the final story here. But I do note that Paul had confidence. Paul had confidence in verse 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Ah, that will make an impact. Now, Paul is very careful not to command Philemon because there is no law against slavery. There are no regulations of what to do with slaves that have wronged you. But there is the law of the gospel. There is this faith in Christ working by love. Let's see it in operation now. Let's see if Philemon will refresh the heart of the saints. And Paul makes that plea again. He says, verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. And of course, what Paul is looking for is a warm reception to Onesimus, that he will be received as a brother. Do you want to be an impact Christian? Forgive and forget the wrongs, the hurts, the evils that have been done you for Jesus' sake. Out of love, faith in Christ, and that your testimony as a Christian will ring true and powerful. There's a text that says that love covers a multitude of sins. Now, that has nothing to do with redemption and atonement. That has to do with your working relationship, maybe with your wife, your husband, your children, a fellow Christian. And we've all been hurt. We have all been offended. But the impact we make is the spirit of forgiveness and grace that we declare to those who may seek a way back, as Onesimus did. And Philemon becomes like the prodigal father. As I say, the scripture doesn't actually give us the close of the account. But Paul's confidence and hopes were up that all would be well with Onesimus. What will happen if an Onesimus walks back into your life? Will you be an impact Christian to declare the genuineness of the gospel and the grace of God in your life? I will do tonight what I heard a preacher do in the book of Acts. The book's not finished because we're left to do the work. Here it is with Philemon. The ball's in our court now as living Christians today with opportunities that our gospel will rub off and make an impact for the Lord Jesus. Let us all be impact Christians to make an impact on our fellow believers. Now you can start writing that impact statement. How's it going? May the Lord help us.